Hey, welcome to episode 7 of the Poking Atcha podcast. Today, our guest is April Karstadt. She's from Mission Viejo, California. She went to UCLA, and she lived in Arizona. Craziness. You know I'm from Arizona, too. Anyways, she goes by UCL April, at UCL April on Instagram. Pretty cool story. Check her out. Enjoy the podcast. Hi, April. How you doing?
Hi, Rich. How are you? I'm great.
I'm doing all right.
Awesome.
Did that just beep?
No, I did not hear a beep.
Okay. I'm sitting here, and I'm worried about how I pronounce your last name. Help me out.
It's Karstadt. It's not that difficult. It looks more scary than it actually is.
Say it one more time.
Karstadt.
So there's an R in there?
Yes.
Oh, K-A-R-S-T-A-D-T.
Yeah, and the D is silent, obviously.
Karstadt.
There's like a German pronunciation, but I can't do it.
So. Wow. So you're probably German then.
It is my heritage, but yeah, it's far removed.
Right. So how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Well, you are at work and stuff and going through some big old commute. I've been home all day. I'm a stay-at-home dad, so I'm always pretty good.
Oh, that's kind of awesome. Yeah, it's not a huge commute, but depending on when I leave, it can be pretty crappy traffic. So
right.
That was tonight, you know, right. Southern California.
I guess you pay for it, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm in Spokane Valley, and it's, like, super hot right now, and most places don't have, like, real AC or anything, and the place that I have, we don't have central air, so we've got a wall unit, and we're actually, we've got a basement and two other levels, and we've got one wall unit, so kind of just huddle around that.
So are you hanging out in the basement to cool off or just wherever the air is?
Yeah, usually I do hang out in the basement, but that's me anyways. I'm kind of into the dark. But yeah, I've been upstairs. So my son's been running around upstairs with his headphones on, ignoring me. And it's really funny.
Oh, that's adorable. Yeah, it's super hot here too. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I think it's supposed to be cooling down soon. So that's going to be a good thing.
Hopefully. And it's summer, so I guess it's not that surprising.
I guess that happens, right?
Yeah. Even in Southern California.
Oh, yeah. If you're not on the beach, you can get totally roasted there, right? I mean, you can get roasted on the beach, like it's 72 degrees or something, but...
Well, I can because I'm super white, but, you know.
I get pretty dark, so... But I get pretty roasted as well. But it's weird how it's so beautiful at the beach, you know, but... Like when you get, you know, 5 miles, 10 miles inland, it's just the same as everywhere else.
Yeah. And that, I mean, I'm probably 10 miles from the beach. Like there's some hills around here that I go walking on and I can see the ocean, but unless you're there, it's kind of gross.
Right. Yeah. Unless you're there, it's gross. I was in, I was up in Canada like 2 weeks ago and I had a little bit of a culture shock. I've been to Mexico a lot, but I was up in Canada and I was just like, yeah, it's not America.
How is it different?
I don't know. It's just...
like a feeling?
It's a feeling, first of all. I thought it would be a lot cleaner than America was, but it seemed more more wild and overgrown a little bit, you know?
Interesting.
Like not as manicured, you know? So... I was in Surrey, BC, and that's it's like 20 miles from Vancouver. And I drove over to Vancouver one night and it took me, there's so much water. Okay. And I'm used to that. I'm up in Washington, but there's so much water there. It took me like an hour and a half to get 20 to 25 miles. It was so crazy.
Like because of the rain?
No, the route, the bridges and the, you know, on the street half the time I'm on the freeway and it's just like, I don't know what's going on. So I was glad to be home. That's all.
That's interesting. Yeah. Did you see any whales?
No, I didn't. I didn't barely even see the water.
Okay.
But I've seen whales in Washington. I've seen whales in Bremerton.
Yeah,
So it was
I'm
pretty neat.
never there. Like, I've been to Seattle a couple times. It's amazing. I love it, but I'm never there during whale season. So one of these days I will make it happen.
They're pretty big. It's
Yeah,
neat.
seriously.
So here we are. We're at the Pokenutcha podcast, episode 7. We've made it this far, and I think I did three of my episodes by myself. So I'm pretty lucky to have a guest
I'm
tonight.
very happy to be your guest and provide you with fantastic company, hopefully.
I was scared because I thought you'd be more talkative. I thought you would just be like, you know.
Oh no, I'm talkative. Once you get me started, you can't get me to shut up. So
Well, then we better
just be
get
warned.
started because, yeah, we better get started. We don't have that long. You're from Orange County,
Yes.
Mission Viejo.
Yeah.
Nobody knows where Mission Viejo
No, not
is.
really. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, how far is it from like LA?
Without traffic, it's like 45 minutes. With traffic, it could be like 3 hours.
45
Yeah,
days.
exactly. I grew up in Ventura County, which is kind of the same distance but north. So LA's always been pretty central to me and about 45 minutes away, as long as the freeways don't suck, but they usually do.
Right. So, like, if you will go at night or in the morning, you're probably going to get there
Like
okay.
3 in the morning is prime.
Wow, that's
I
crazy.
learned that
That's
when
usually.
I went to UCLA. I learned that it was like, oh, you want to go somewhere? Okay, 3 in the morning. After I graduated, I was living like an hour away. Okay, 3 in the morning, perfect. Go out to the bars, sober up a little bit, and then drive home.
Just a little
Yeah, a
bit.
little bit.
Hey, so UCLA, I gotta ask. I know, whatever. How long ago did you get out? Did you graduate?
I did graduate in 2009, so it was a long time ago.
Okay, congratulations. Well, that's not that long ago, really. Things move a lot faster.
I
So when you
know.
get
The
up,
older you get, it's like, man, where did that time go?
it's just. So what do you think about Lonzo Ball?
What is Lonzo Ball?
Come on, you're from UCLA. You don't know Lonzo
No, I
Ball?
know Kevin Love. I heard his name dropped recently in some podcast.
Okay. Yeah, Kevin Love, he's been out of there for like maybe almost
But
10
I went to
years.
school with him. That was the year that we
Oh,
should
you
have
did?
won the championship, because we had Kevin
Nice.
Love and Russell Westbrook and Darren Collison. Should have been our trophy that year.
That's right. And also back in the day, Jason Kidd went to
I
UCLA.
think that was before my time.
Yeah, that probably was. So this guy, Lonzo Ball, right? Okay, he was the second draft pick last year. He went to the Lakers, and his dad, LeVar, is just a total big mouth. Like he's a modern father who thinks his son can do everything. His three sons, actually, he's got three kids that play basketball. And it's just, I mean, it's like a train wreck. You know, he's very talkative and he's very boastful and a bit egotistical, and it's pretty neat to watch him. But his son, like he built his son up so big, his son kind of struggled a little bit on some things. But you know, his son is just the complete opposite. He doesn't talk, he's very quiet. He just does what he does, you know. And it's pretty interesting. It's probably most of it's probably a show though.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully he is like seriously humble and he's just like, Dad, like, shut up, please.
Yeah.
But now we have LeBron, so whatever happens, everyone's gonna look good, hopefully.
Yeah. He's going to be good with LeBron for sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what a crazy summer you guys are having over there. I mean, you just for free. Hey, he's like, here you go. I'm a gift.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Like, I used to be super, super into basketball. I loved it. But since 2010, oh my gosh, it's been painful. So the Lakers are my team. But I'm like, oh my gosh, we got someone good. Like, this might be fun again.
Oh, it's going to be fun. It was fun last year. They won like 30 games, but they played exciting basketball. So it'll be
Yeah,
fun.
that's good. Hockey is my sport, though.
Oh, geez. I don't know anything about hockey.
It's really fun. It's really, really fun. And I'm a Kings fan, obviously.
Obviously. But not what you don't like the Clippers, right?
No. No way.
Hell no.
Hell no. I don't like the Angels. I don't like the Ducks. I'm an LA girl.
Jeez, you're so close though. They're all right there. It's like, come on, can't we all get along?
I mean, you have to choose your loyalties.
Right, we can't get along. That's right. Well, you know, I couldn't get along with you before because I'm a huge Phoenix Suns fan, but they've been really hurting for quite a while, like as long as LA. So, you know, it's like I kind of gave up on that rivalry.
Yeah.
I think we can be friends.
It's not even a rivalry because we both just suck.
Don't worry, this year things will be coming around.
Maybe things will change. Basketball will be good again.
Definitely will. Let's get into this, okay? Enough of our enough about stuff we like to do. Let's talk about
Which is
MXPX.
like the favorite thing to
Ick.
do.
Gross. So what were you doing last Tuesday around this time,
Oh,
right?
yeah. I was definitely ready, definitely listening. I think I didn't really sleep at all because I was listening all night over and over and over again.
No kidding, same thing. Did you watch the live performance at all, or?
So I was getting my hair done and I was under the dryer. I didn't have headphones and I was like scrolling through Facebook and it started and I was like, shit, like I know what's happening. Like I know what is happening right now. And I was so upset that I didn't have my headphones. So I was like holding my phone up to my ear and like trying to watch. But you know, I'm in like a freaking salon with a bunch of other people and I have the hair dryer over my head. So I posted it and just figured I will watch it when I get home. So I watched it as soon as I got home and then listened to the album, and I haven't really stopped since.
No kidding. Same
It's
here. It's unbelievable.
so good. Oh my gosh. Like, I cannot say
Tell
enough.
me what. Tell me what your favorite album was before last week.
So this is hard for me because there's kind of different answers. The first album ever that I bought was at the show, and I think that that one will kind of always be my favorite because, like, I love live music. Like, live music is everything to me, and that was my first experience with them, like, listening over and over. But get a lot of hatred for this at times. I love Before Everything and After, and there's a story behind it.
Let's hear it.
I grew up in like a super conservative, like religious home. I used to go to concerts all the time and like Dogwood, Five Iron Frenzy, like a bunch of the like Christian punk bands or whatever. I used to go see them. And then I was in this like tiny kind of cultist church. And one day they like the pastor told my mom, like, oh, like she's too obsessed with music and it's getting in the way of her relationship with God. So she shouldn't be allowed to go to concerts anymore. So I wasn't allowed to go to concerts anymore. And also there was the whole thought of like tattoos were like evil and the mark of the devil and blah, 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 blah. So my mom hated MXPX. Like she hated them. She was like, they're disgusting. And I'm just like, whatever, mom. So I was pretty miserable for a few years. I like the moment I turned 18, I went and got tattoos and I started going to concerts again. And that was 2003 when Before Everything and After came out. So the first time that I ever saw them, it was that tour with Good Charlotte, Newfound Glory, them, and Sugar Cult, which I loved all of those bands. And it was just like, life is perfect now. So, and I just remember like Play It Loud starting. Like, I remember the intro and like them going into Play It Loud, which I actually have lyrics from that song tattooed on me. But yeah, so that album has a special place in my heart and I will always stand up for it. But this newest one, I think is better than anything ever.
Right.
So good.
It is.
So good.
So then you're gonna what do any of those Before Everything and After songs remind you of any of the songs on the new album?
I think that Rolling Strong and Play It Loud have like a similarity and that like it's a good like first song, like anthem, like it could start a show, but it's the same, you know, with My Life Story or Secret Weapon. So it's not necessarily like just that album. It's just like kind of a pattern that they have and just like another like, oh, like let's get this started and be awesome.
Right. That's very, very, very true. All of those ones are like a kind of like a fire starter, or it's a match or
Yeah,
something,
it's
right?
just like you're like, oh, I'm like ready for this.
Well, then why don't you tell us about Rolling Strong? What do you think about it?
So that song came out the day.
Bust out the notes. Get your notes.
No, that song came out the day of the observatory show, which I went to, and
you were one of the first people to ever see it.
Yes.
Or hear yes. it.
So it came out in the morning, and like I remember like reading like Tom's little blurb about how like he knew it was going to be the first song right away, and like just like felt the excitement, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. And I listened to it, and I listened to it probably on repeat all day, because when I go to concerts I like to sing along, so I'm like, I'm gonna know this song for this show. And you know, they played it and it was amazing, and I love it. Like, I just think it's a great like album starter, anthem, like show starter. And you know, I just think like as we get older, I don't know, I like, I'm still chasing that like feeling of like the weekend and the music and like getting that bass blasting, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like happiness. And right. I love like that, like the last words are, I'm so happy. And that weekend for me, it was just, oh my gosh, it was the greatest weekend. And that, like, all we want is a Friday night that will treat us right. And like, I'm so happy. That was everything.
I really love I mean, it's a great song. It's so fast and powerful. Yeah. And it's just like such a, you know, it's like a hammer or whatever you want to do, you know, it's amazing. But I love the ending as well. I'm so happy. It just means a lot to me. It's like, I get goosebumps right
I
now
love
saying,
you too.
Saying that. I was up all night. So, when the album came out, but, I just, it's, you know, I'm a huge MXPX fan, and I'm finding out that, and I said this a couple of days ago, I'm nothing special, man. There's so many people that are just like me, and it's so great. I didn't know. I thought, oh, I've got to be the number one fan, but it's like, no, people are serious about this shit.
Yeah, and it's super cool because I, you know, growing up and whatever, I didn't have a lot of friends that were into the same music that I was, like the whole pop punk thing. Like, I had a couple friends that were into it, and they'd go to shows with me and stuff, but they never had the love that I had for it. So just seeing this and kind of like this resurgence of MXPX and like how great like the music is and how excited everyone is, I'm like, damn, like there's a lot of us out there, and it's really awesome.
Right. And to be doing it like, you know, whatever, organically or whatever, without the help of Big Brother and all these other huge industries. I mean, we did this.
Yeah.
With MXPX. Yeah. We did it. That's what's so, that is, I need to calm down because I'll start freaking out, but we did
I know
this.
I have the same feeling. Trust me.
the I'm so happy part. I'm going to keep bringing this up. There's so many things, and this is it's going to happen. I think for everybody, I think everybody's going to see it. You're not going to be leaving after listening to this album in a bad mood or anything.
No,
it's just
impossible.
Positivity. It's a positivity Sunday, like more than before, more than ever before. It's just so positive.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's amazing.
I love it. Let's move on to all of it.
So
this is my current today's favorite.
I know. It's been like a range of like everyday changing, but I've kind of been on the same one for a while, but we'll get there. This song's amazing. I love it. But then like listening to the podcast, the My Career podcast, and him talking about the fact that it was like about his daughter. Oh my gosh. It made me love it even more.
Man,
like,
crazy.
The cutest thing, like, you know, the Unwritten Law song, Kaylin, like, I always love that song and like favorite song, cause I'm a daddy's girl, and just hearing him talk about like her saying that, and just like, you could hear the love in his voice. So that made it even more special. But I just think it's a really like sweet, but like deep at the same time kind of love song. And I don't know, it just makes you feel good. Like the music is great. And I also love that it's not just a love song of like, okay, I'm in love with you. It's like when things get tough, like I'm going to fight for you. And, you know, I think that as you get older, you kind of realize that that's what it takes.
Yeah, I'd say that Sailor and Rhodes, they don't have any future issues with that. I'm sure of that.
I know. They're lucky children, that's for sure.
It's really nice. I really, really love the little breakdown, you know, if our house of cards falls down, it's such a, it's so emotional. I mean, you just, you could cry forever listening to that
it's
stuff.
Like, it's raw amazing. And real. I'm like, okay, like, I'm in this, like, for the long run. I'm not in a relationship right now, but, you know, it's like, that's what you want.
Exactly, right? And I got to say, the drumming, I mean, every time Yuri's just killing it on the drums. I think that the time away must have helped these guys so much.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and the addition of Chris, too, it just, like, they sound perfect.
Yeah, Chris is pretty amazing.
It's good stuff.
I only met him just once, and it was like, it was, you know what? You love Tom, okay? It was like meeting Tom for the first time.
I know, I do love Tom. Tom's always been my favorite.
I met the first time I went to MXPX, it was forever ago. I don't know. It was like 98 or something. And Tom, I got there super early, and Tom was sitting outside of the bus. It was in Mesa, Arizona. And he was sitting on the on a bench, like a nice bench. It's a little touristy area, and he was reading a book. And I sat down, and I'm like, "Hi, Tom." And he's like, "Hey," and that was it. You know, it was just like we started talking, and it was just like boom, 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 and that was it, just forever. You know, it was so easy. It was so awesome talking to him.
Yeah, super cool. He and Yuri were always the ones, like when I was younger, that would be out and around. I think now, like, I see all of them more at shows, but they were, like, I have a lot of pictures with Tom. Okay, not a lot, but a few pictures with Tom. Couple with you.
Just 2,000.
Couple with Yuri. And then, like, now it's all of them. So it's awesome.
Well, they're definitely more of a package deal than they used to be, right?
Yeah, and I love that.
It's so great. That's, I've been pretty close to them, you know, at times, and I was on a tour bus with them for a while, and the comparison from then to now, and then just, you know, the lyrics have always been amazing, the shows have always been amazing, but it's just that 4 or 5 years apart, you know, not seeing each other all the time, and I mean, it's a different story, and it's a different, I mean, everybody's grown up, but there's love there for sure.
Yeah, a different kind of chemistry. It, like, you can definitely feel it.
God, you can see it, you can feel it.
Totally.
Some people probably have tasted it. I saw that one girl chewing Mike's arm or something. I don't know.
I did see that too.
Well, that's a great, great song. I think that's the one that should be on Before Everything After. I think that should be the last song on Before Everything
know,
and
I
After.
I heard you say that, but I just don't think it belongs there. I don't know.
I was going to put the after on all of it, and then maybe you'll think it fits better. You know, the little outro. All I ever want to do tonight, or whatever.
It's all right. Yeah, I know.
Friday tonight, let's get into this. I know that
Friday
you're
going to like it,
right?
Yes. So,
let me hear.
They obviously played that at the Observatory show and the Troubadour show.
Yes.
I loved it, like hearing it. It was just awesome, so exciting. But I will admit this, I've never seen the movie Friday. back to the super strict Christian home, sheltered, whatever.
Right.
So when I heard your, like, you know, your first thoughts on the album or whatever, and you were like talking about like the song being about smoking weed, I'm like, what? And then like I listened to the lyrics and I'm like, dang, like he's probably right, like those are totally stoner thoughts, but at the same time it's, I don't know, it just like makes you think. And I love that, like, you know, the like the verses have their own feel, and then like that whole like in the kitchen, and then the chorus, like it's all different, but it all like works together so perfectly. And it's just a fun song, like you can't help but smile when you're listening to it. And you know, it's like, I love that song, like, or that part, like, you win some, you lose some, but you live to fight another day. Like,
jeez,
like,
yes,
man, like we're all in this, like just fighting through another day, but like songs like this make you happy and like help you get through it, you know.
And that song, I mean, the movie, it is about smoking weed and being fired on your day off. But there, I've seen it 100 times, and I never once thought that it meant anything more than being fun. But it does. You win some, you lose some. You live to fight another day. The ending of the movie is very good. You got. I'm going to watch it
now for sure.
You've got to watch it like right now, like soon.
As soon as we're done, I'm going to find it.
There's not a lot of things that I would tell people, like, you've got to do this right now. Like, if you haven't heard MXPX, you got to hear
definitely.
It. If you haven't watched Battlestar Galactica, like from 2005, you got to watch that too, because it's good.
I haven't.
And then MXPX. Yeah, MXPX.
Dang, so I have two things on my to-do list.
Well, what about that? What is it? I'm looking for this. So the people are, some people are a little bit in shock, you know, let's do it. Let's talk about it. God damn. What's up with
you
that?
You know, when I heard it, I was like, oh, interesting. They're doing that. I don't think it means anything. Like, I don't know. It's just, I feel like MXPX never got the credit that they deserved because of that whole like Christian label. Like, I don't think that Blink-182 is better. I don't think that Newfound Glory is better. And maybe that's just because, like, MXPX is my band and, like, they're my number ones forever. But I just feel like that whole label kind of hindered them. And now that they're separate, they're doing everything on their own. Like, I really hope that they get the credit that they deserve. And, like, who cares? It says goddamn. Like, whatever.
Right. I like how the album has explicit
lyrics. I know. Oh my gosh. When I saw that on Spotify, I think it was Rolling Strong that had it, because they big ass band. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Pretty,
like, there's hard. So many worse words out there on songs that don't get that E. And it's like, is it just because it's them? Like, I don't understand this. But
maybe they paid for it. Maybe you have to pay to get the explicit or something.
Maybe. They're like, they need a shock. But yeah, I definitely, when I heard it live, I was like, oh, that just happened. But it was just like, dang, like, good for them. Like, I was super proud of them. Love the song. I'm like, I'm happy that they're just, like, owning who they are and not trying to, like, fit into what people expect or what they think or whatever. Like, they're just them. And you can feel it. And it's, I don't know, it's perfect.
Right. You know, you are the perfect example of, you know, like a fan, a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. You know, you were in a cocoon for a long time, the way that you were brought up, and you were able to free yourself and explore the world like a real person.
Yeah. Well, and it's the timing of this album and just kind of where I'm at in life. It's like, it couldn't have been more perfect, because, you know, there's just been a lot of stuff going on, and like, I've been, you know, immersed in country, and I was at Route 91, and like, just dealing with all this stuff and seeing that the way people are. And I, like, my first like non-country concert after Route 91 was the show at the Novo with MXPX and Mest and Goldfinger. And I was a little bit worried and, like, you know, afraid that, you know, I was going to have a panic attack or whatever, because still, like, going to concerts and just having, like, that experience, I didn't know what to expect. And it's like, you know, I was worried about sounds and, like, what if there's, like, a bang or fireworks or whatever. And I got through the show perfectly. It was totally fine. Like, I definitely, like, looked up and was like, dang, like, if someone's up there with a gun, like, I'm going to die. But
yikes.
Like, not having a panic attack, not freaking out, like, that was a huge deal for me. And it was like, that's because, like, they're my band, they're my people. So that was like one experience, but there's just been a lot of things in the aftermath. Like, just, you know, everyone goes through this like horrible traumatic event and, oh, my life's going to change. And then everyone just goes back to the way that they were. And the fact that I am into punk and, like, I'm a little bit different, you know, just kind of like, I felt like I was being ostracized from this community that I thought was like going to be my community forever because of like what we went through. And, those shows, like the observatory and Troubadour, it was just like, I felt like something came back to life in me. And I saw Story of the Year a couple months ago too. And that's another band that like the second the music starts, like there's just a feeling of like life in like in me, just like because of the performance and whatever. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I need to, like, this is my love. This is my passion. Like, this is my growth. And so this album came out and it's just, I don't know. It's awesome. Like, I'm so happy. It's dumb, but I'm so happy.
You stole that line.
I know. Thank you. Maybe they stole that line from me.
Well, they definitely took it from someone. It's just all about being positive. Yeah. And this is going to help a lot of people. So that's really great. Well, when you said that you felt a little bit ostracized and everything, I was like, as soon as you said that, I thought everyone here is invited to go. That's the thing, you know? It's like, MXPX has some fans that are like, you know, straight, just completely, I'm not going to go and explain all of them, but there's such a wide variety of people. And it seems like they can all get along, except for whatever that dude, whoever was fighting
the Troubadour,
that was crazy. Seeing Mike get like that was pretty wild.
Because it was nuts. He was just like off the stage. I'm like, oh shit! Like he's gonna kick someone's ass.
Hey, stop the fight so I can get down there and beat somebody up.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. But like, I've
wrestled.
Like, that's cool because it just shows the care that he has for his fans and for his people. And that's obviously not indicative of an MXPX concert. Although I will tell you that at Chain Reaction a couple years ago, this girl got upset with me. I don't really know why. I think it was over a set list or something. And she like came behind me and pulled my hair while holding gum. So I had gum in my hair. And
sorry,
I'm like, all right, this is cool. So
that's LA, right?
Exactly.
Totally. That's unbelievable. So now you gotta watch yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the two violent experiences at an MXPX concert. Otherwise, we just all love each other.
Well, man, I've seen. I'm not against jocks or anything. I like sports and everything. There's just a difference between a meathead that shows up at a show and wants to push people around because it's dancing or something, you know, but it's just like, it's embarrassing. It's not punk rock or anything. There's no need to fight. I guarantee that it was just some dude that's not really a real MXPX fan. There's no way.
Definitely not.
You're not going to MXPX show to fight. That's for sure. Mike has wrestled with me, or I've wrestled with Mike a few times. He hurt my back one time. He pushed me into a doorknob on purpose. He's not the best. He's not always a little angel.
That's really funny. But you have a good story now, so.
Oh, yeah. He was trying to hurt me. We were going
out. What did you do to piss him off? That's the first question.
It was Warped Tour. It was hot, man. You don't need any answers. Oh, you don't need any reasons. Yeah. It's just a tough gig. 2005.
Okay. I don't know why I didn't go that year. I went 03 and 04, which were amazing, but you would have thought that I would have been at 05 if MXPX was there, but maybe they weren't at my, like, where, I don't know, where I was or something, because I definitely would have been there.
All right. What are we on? Let's ride?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. We better move a little bit more.
I told you. There's so much to say. So I really love this song. Like when it was released, I was super excited and just like, dang, like if this is indicative of what is coming for the rest of the album, this is great. But I know that for a lot of people, it's very like reminiscent of their childhood and like stages and stuff like that. And like, for me, it's really not. Like, I didn't have that freedom and like kind of the same growing up stages. Like, I can relate to the, like, you know, no, I'm 29 and I can't believe I'm still alive. But I think that like for me and like what resonates with me is just the like chasing like what makes you happy. Like for me, like it's not going to the mountains that makes me happy, but like I will drive to a show and that is my happiness. That's my escape. So it's like following your skyline, like figuring out your, you know, like your happy place and just going for it.
That's so great. I never even imagined somebody looking at it from a perspective of being a little bit sheltered in their early childhood, because man, Mike's sitting there talking about being free,
Yeah.
driving to the ocean at
Yeah, I'm
16.
like, well, I wasn't allowed to have a car, and my parents watch everything that I did, so I don't know about that, but now I'm free, so.
Right. Let's just do it in reverse, you know? Just go crazy right now.
Exactly.
It's a perfect time. I think this album is coming at the perfect time for you, that's for
Yeah,
sure.
definitely.
Me too, though, because I'll tell you, I wasn't as happy in between plans within plans, and now, you know?
Yeah.
Just things are not as good when you got to wait 5 years for an MXPX
I
CD.
know. Well, yeah. And I mean, yeah, it's been a long time. I'm so happy for this album.
It's been too
Yeah, for
long.
sure.
Well, I feel you heard it. I feel like it's divided into three distinct sounds, kind of. Now we're up to Uptown Streets. What do you think about
Yeah,
that?
so just like a word on that, I loved how you broke that down. And I never thought the first probably 20 times that I listened through that my favorite would not be in that first portion, like in the first four songs, but it ended up being a
Right.
different one. So, you know, things
Wow.
just hit you later. So, Uptown Streets, I think it's a great song. And the line, I wrote it on the back of my hand so I wouldn't forget. So at the observatory show, I was like in line getting my poster signed, you know, because I try to like collect the posters from the different shows that they have out here. And I had not bought a ticket to the Troubadour. So, you know, I was next to Mike and I'm like, hey, like if I was really dumb and didn't buy a ticket, like, do you know, like, is it possible to get one for tomorrow? And I'm like, it sold out. And he's like, oh, yeah, it sold out. He's like, we'll put you on the list. He's like, it's just you, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, he handed me a Sharpie. He's like, here, write your name on Tom's hand. So I wrote my name on the back of Tom's hand so he wouldn't forget. And that's how I got into the show the next day. So I love that line. Like, it just makes me smile every time for that experience. But, you know, again, it's just like I grew up in a suburb of LA. I never had that, like, small town, like uptown street kind of like feel in my life, but I do also appreciate it's kind of got like a country vibe, like it could be a country song, and just like that kind of like Americana. Just I don't know, it's a good song, I really like it.
It's totally a tumble down mix. It's an MXPX tumble
Yeah,
down mix, which is
yeah.
terrific. And that's, you know, you can't, I mean, Mike can't be held back, you know. Like, I remember there was a time when there was a Christmas song that they're recording, and and Tom was like, I'm not really into that song. It's too much like a tumble down song. I think there was a video about it or something. And so Mike did another song. And it's like this one right here, you know, I think this one would please just about everybody, a rock
Yeah.
person, a punk person, a country person. I mean, I think that could be on like a country chart. I just think all of them could, but I think it's so
Yeah,
crazy.
it's definitely a song that resonates just like the feeling of, you know, being an American and just like growing up the way that we grow up and stuff like that. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's pretty good sometimes to be American, I
I
think.
do think so. Sometimes it's frustrating, but ooh.
Yeah, I don't know what's going
That's
on
like
here, but at
a
least.
3 hour separate conversation.
All right. Yeah, let's not talk about that, because that seriously, the what's it called? The Vegas show that you're at, that's very, very scary. I was up all night watching the news on that one, so.
It's crazy. Like sometimes I can't even believe that actually happened. It's I don't know. It's surreal for sure.
No matter what happened, I think that attacking a music venue is like the ultimate terror attack, because I mean, it's even more than a movie. You know, people are there, they're interacting, their emotions are coming out and everything. I mean, it's just like they want you to stay at home. And that's the place, you know, like you said, that's your freedom is right there at the
Yeah.
show. That's an ultimate terror attack on you.
Yeah.
So that's craziness to hear. I didn't know that you were at that. So I want to talk about that later. Or not, you
Yeah,
know?
I mean, I'm good. Music is everything, so it's been my healing. I'm not like I'll talk about it. I'm you know, I don't have the like victim or survivor or whatever kind of mentality. It's just like, all right, like I made it through, like, thanks God, you know, something that's part of my life that, you know, just have to deal with now.
Right. And you're still thanking God, even though you were brought up like that.
Yes.
nothing wrong with saying thanks to anybody. That's for sure. All right. 2020 hindsight.
So this one, I really relate to it because when I was 19, my parents moved to Arizona and that whole.
What?
Yeah. That.
You know, I'm from Arizona.
I'm sorry.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to stop for 2 seconds. Just coincidences follow me all the time. So that's, I know it's not far from California or anything, but it's just a coincidence and they're always there with me. So yeah. Congratulations.
Well, so my parents moved to Prescott. I assume you were probably like from Phoenix or something, which is a little bit different than Prescott.
Yeah, Scottsdale.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. Prescott's like small town. Like, why on earth would a 19-year-old want to live there? Like, so, but yeah, it was like listening to like those lyrics and just like that move might kill me. And like, but how do I know, like, you know, like, how do I know if I make this move or whatever? And I'm really glad that I did because, you know, my dream was to go to UCLA my whole life. And I just, it was scary and terrifying, like choosing to be on my own at such a young age. And especially now, you know, it's not normal for an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old to just like leave their parents. So it was, you know, it's like
32-year-olds are staying there.
Exactly. So it was a big deal for me to make that choice. But then I do have the 2020 hindsight that it's like, I am so much able to encourage people that are scared, like whether it's a relationship or, you know, like going out on your own, following your dreams, whatever it is. It's like, okay, like I'm no one, but I can tell you that I got through this. So you totally can. So I love that about that song.
That's awesome. That's a pretty good story. You got a lot of them.
I know. I really do.
Were you up writing them or something? What's going on? Are you a writer?
I write a book. I've always thought that. Like, oh my gosh. So much. I feel like that movie that you're like, that's a movie. That's not real life. No, that's my real life.
You know, well, so Prescott Valley. Long time ago, I think in 1989 or something, I was working construction, and I think it was the Home Depot. What's that other? Lowe's, True Value or something, some huge warehouse facility up there. So I was up there for like 6 months straight. It was crazy.
Yeah. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's grown a lot. I actually really love visiting there. Like now that I'm older, you know, with the like lakes and the hiking, and it's just gorgeous, but I still do not want to live there.
Well, all the other Californians are living there.
Yes. They complain about it all the time. But that, like, the uptown street thing, I just think, like, okay, like, my siblings had that experience because they were in a small town, but I didn't have that, so.
Well, at least you know what it's like still, though.
And thank God I didn't have that experience because I would have been miserable.
Yeah, you don't seem like the kind to be, I don't know.
Contained.
Well, you wear the cowboy boots and everything, but just not having anything to do doesn't seem like your style.
Yeah, no. Definitely not.
All right. The way we do. This is the one that I'm not listening to yet. I haven't listened to this one yet. I'm just not feeling it.
Okay. So this hit me so unexpectedly. I was listening to it over and over and over, you know, the album, like in its entirety. I never really stopped to like repeat songs. It was just like on loop.
Right.
And I had noticed, you know, because I'm working, like we had some new people starting at work, I'm training, so it's not like deep listening. And I think it was last Thursday, I was driving home and I'd noticed the like lessons, you know, like growing on trees and whatever. And like, you know, I get that, like I feel that. But I heard the Here We Are, Wide-Eyed Living the Dream. And I'm like, I'd like, had to think about it. I'm like, did he just say that? So I started it over and I listened to the whole thing and I like literally got goosebumps because just, okay, the music, I love the music, like the way that it starts, like the guitar, like the, just the rhythm, everything about it is like a feel good song. And that whole thought of like, if I'm not here anymore, like, I hope that my music and my stories are what I live through. And even though I don't have like the same kind of stories, it's like the legacy that you leave is like what you're leaving behind. And so like, you want to make something that people can look back on, you know, and then the stories that they're talking about, like Simple Plan, Bad Religion, Face to Face, like those are all important bands in my life. They're not MXPX, but like, I love them. And so hearing that, that's awesome. And then, you know, it's like, this is the way we do life, the way that we want to. And I'm totally like in that place in my life where it's like, I'm doing me. So that resonates with me. It's making the moment last past midnight. Like it's everything, like all of that. It's how I feel about life. It's just like, I'm doing me. And then you get to that part where, you know, failure doesn't discourage them because they've experienced it.
All right.
Nothing comes easy. Like it's all about working hard, but they are living their dreams. And I just think like as a fan, oh my gosh, like all I've ever wanted was for them to be successful. And maybe this isn't going to be number one, but I feel like for the first time ever, like they're like just like jiving and happy, and it's like irresistible, like how they're feeling and their success and the fact that no one's controlling them. They're doing everything on their own. And it just like, it gives me goosebumps because I want that success for them, you know? And then there's the ahs in the background.
Right.
Like, it reminds me of the Beach Boys. Yes. And oh my gosh, like everything about this song just makes me feel good.
It is a very feel good song. Ahs in the background are great.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's funny because Mike was talking about how like it's a selfish song. And I was like, I don't think it's a selfish song. Like the song's for me too, as a fan, like wanting you guys to be successful and like understanding, you know, okay, I'm not MXPX. Like I'm not a rock star, which I always wished I was when I was younger. But like, I've had to work hard and like do everything, you know, to be where I am. And so just, I don't know, just the fact that like nothing's come easy, but here they are like living their dream. It's amazing.
Right. You know, if I would say MXPX has failed more than any band out there that we know their names, you know, they've gone through so much and they've been, I mean, screwed over so many times. Maybe that, like what you're saying, you know, you've always wanted them to be huge. And so have I. I've had fights with people. People are like, oh, we don't need fortune. We don't need fame. I'm like, you know what? They do. Okay. Stop being selfish. It's not a, yeah, they deserve it. They've put in the work. But not only that, you know what? Forget MXPX and forget about, you know, them being famous or whatever. But how many more people out there can have better lives because of this? And they don't know MXPX yet, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
That's what it's about. This album, these people, they could save the world. You know, John Lennon could have done it. Mike could do it. Who knows?
I think Mike's going to. He's right on path for that.
Oh my gosh. It's so cool to hear. You're up there with the fans. I love it. You're up there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I'm a diehard man. It's been like so frustrating. And I know you understand over the years, like okay. I love Good Charlotte. Like I loved those first two albums, Newfound Glory, like Sticks and Stones, self-titled, like those are fantastic, but I've never like, I feel like that little period of like 2002 to 2004-ish is like those albums stick with me. I've never like continued because nothing has ever like been to me like what MXPX is. So
right, you know, and also they didn't move to LA like Benji and what's it called, Newfound Glory and stuff. I mean, Newfound Glory is really about Florida, but they're in LA. Yeah. Good Charlotte's really about Maryland and they're in LA. Yeah. It's like, come on, man. You guys are married to freaking,
I know, Nicole, whatever superstar. Her name is. I know.
I mean, Mike could have done it. Those guys could have done the same thing, but they're true. You know, they're real. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, I do wonder if it's the, like, just the fact that they never went to LA, that they didn't get the same breaks, I guess you'd call it, because the talent's there for sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's that and the Christian thing, like that really screwed them, which is a bummer.
Yeah. What if it was just, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And finally, those muscles and the muscle memory is there, and they're ready to really do it now. What if they would have blown up and fizzled, before, but now they've got a really stable base.
Yeah, that's true.
And now it's just going to go skyward. That'd be so amazing.
It would be the greatest thing. I really, really hope so. Like, I think about, okay, like I'm 33. I'm like, they can't stop playing anytime soon. Like, they've got to go for it at least like 20 more years. And then I don't know, like there was some conversation about like the bands that play till they die, like the Rolling Stones and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'd be down with that. Like I'd be at those shows for sure.
Right. Well, maybe it'll happen. I mean, I don't know what to say. What can Mike do? What can he do? Can he walk away? He's making people, feel better. He's got to stay there. And it's not 100% if it's not Mike and Tom and Yuri and Chris now.
Yeah.
It's not 100. It's just not 100%. It's still awesome, but it's not the same.
No, it needs to be all of them together. And even like I've talked to a couple people that, are into pop punk and, they like the old, whatever, like some old MXPX songs, but they're like, what they were always missing was like another guitar. And I'm like, well, guess what? Now there's another guitar. You need to listen to this album. Everyone's been like, this is amazing. I'm like, yeah, see?
Yeah, like not even, they've had other guitarists, and I like both of the guitarists. They had Seth Roberts, who's a friend of mine, and he was on Warped Tour when I was with MXPX, and it was great. And then there was Jack, and he's a great guitarist as well. But I think that the music, it wasn't written or it wasn't produced to have that, both of those guitar parts, going off of each other.
Yes.
It just wasn't. It wasn't so prevalent, and now it's just melting your face.
Yes, it's perfect.
I love it. I love it. Okay, where are
life
we at?
Goals.
Life goals. Thank you. This one's where I'm at right now too. Let's hear what you think.
I love this song. So you heard like a little bit of my upbringing and that super strict, like crazy religious stuff, and the
right.
line, those messed up thoughts are not your own. It's like, oh, that
wow.
So much resonates with me.
Cause they were just slamming them into your ears and pushing them in your head.
Yeah,
right.
And I don't know the like depth of religiosity or whatever you want to call it, like for them when they started, but I feel like they kind of will always like have that, like some people will give that stigma to them, and it's like, no, like you, like this stuff that you're being fed or whatever, it's not you. Like you're just like kind of like a pawn, or I don't know how to explain it, but
well, I feel the same way, but it's not the religious aspect. I just feel that way about the government and society.
Oh, yeah.
That's
no,
how
I'm
I feel
too, trust me. Poli sci major.
So you're totally screwed.
Yeah.
You're messed up.
But I don't know. I love that line. But that, it's like you only get one chance. You have to live life with no regrets. And like you do have to like set your standards and follow your goals and like follow your dreams and have them. And, I think about like me going to UCLA. Like nobody thought I could do it. My parents were gone. I got decent grades, whatever. But I'm like a white kid in the suburbs of LA. Like, why would I ever get to go to that school? And I worked my ass off. And guess what? Like, I got to do that. And like that's just a small, minute thing. But I don't know. I just feel like people need to like realize, like, follow your dreams. And we're watching like our favorite band that we've been following forever. Like, they had goals. This is where they wanted to be. And now they're realizing it. And it wasn't easy. It took a long time, but this is life. You got to like do it and follow it. And I don't know, give it your everything.
Well, that's not punk rock.
I think it is.
You're not supposed to care. You're not supposed to try. Come on, go
no,
pick your nose or something.
You have to care and you have to try.
You're right. And you know what? I wasn't told that as a kid, and if I would have had this stuff in front of me with the lyrics sheet in front of me, my life would have probably been different. But you know what? And I wouldn't have known MXPX or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
But definitely having a path is a really good thing.
Yeah.
And if it's Mike telling you, or a friend, or somebody telling you, hey, you're really good at this. You know, you should look into this and move forward. Having somebody help you, a little bit of a life coach or something.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, growing up in the church, like with that whole line of like the messed up thoughts are not your own, like I was raised basically like, okay, you like grow up and get married and have kids. And, you know, I have younger siblings. They're all married. Like, I'm not married. I don't have kids. Like, I didn't live like the way that I was supposed to or whatever. But like that whole like mentality, like that's not my thinking. And I didn't have anyone telling me like, oh, follow your dreams. Like I had people telling me, this is what you need to do with your life. And
this is your dream.
And I'm like, thank God I was rebellious because now I am where I am. And like, you know, I'm happy. Like I love my life. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's, I mean, that's a pretty grungy song. I think it's very, I made a little Outsiders tribute video to it and everything. And the Stray Cats, I just feel like it's really, you know, the streets. I just feel it's real.
Yeah.
I love the song. Love it. And it's so choppy. I just love everything about it.
I feel like it's going to be a show staple, which I'm sad about.
They haven't played it live yet, have they?
Well, not that I know, but they've only done two shows. So the only, I think all of it is the song that I haven't seen live yet that I've seen like videos of, but I think that that's the only one that they've added so far.
I got a feeling that all of it is going to be the next single. That's just what I feel.
I kind of feel that way too. I think that would be fantastic. But yeah, I don't know. And I think that it seems like a lot of the fan input is that Life Goals is like one of those up there songs. So they seem to play what we want to hear. So
well, they got a catalog that's only like 2,000 songs.
I know.
let's talk about Pipe Dreams.
Yes. Well, Build Your Skyline. I love it because it's got like the political, you know, the like political thoughts to it. And like, okay, well, what I love about this band and have always loved about them, it's not just like, I don't know, it's not just like surface stuff. It's like making you think, whether it's about like following your dreams or, you know, politics or like what is actually happening around you. And I'm glad that they put this in there because, you know, okay, obviously follow, like have pipe dreams, have unrealistic dreams. Like I never would have thought, you know, when I was 18 and like kind of like a chubby, like dorky kid that Mike would hand me a Sharpie and say like, write your name on Tom's hand. Like you can go to the show tomorrow. Like that's a freaking dream come true. Like I know it's like a tiny dream and some people would be like, really? Like that's what, like that's your dream, but that's awesome. You know? And it took me 33 years to get there. So like, no matter how big or how small, like, you got to, like, think about what you want and try to make it come true.
Forget my college degree. I just wrote my name on Tom's hand.
And there's a line about it in Uptown Streets that he didn't even realize was going to be there.
Exactly. Yeah, it was premonition or whatever. It was done before. That's right.
But I do love, like, the whole, like, political thought. You know, it's just, like, people need to think about where we're at and not be satisfied and, I don't know, speak out. I have a lot to say about that, man.
Yeah, but then it's just like 1 in 3, right? It's just like, you know, that it's not real. I don't know. It's too much.
Well, and I love that line too that that says hate must be fear. And I feel like that's reality. You know, and it's whether it's like, you know, you hate Trump because you're scared of what he's going to do, which may be like a realistic fear, which I think is a realistic fear. But like, you know, hating like other cultures or whatever, it's just like not understanding. And I think that people took the time to understand and like look at the big picture and see each other as humans and, you know, not just whatever like divided parties or I believe this, I'm associating with this. Things would be so much better.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's what punk rock is all about. That's why, you know, people got into it. They weren't fitting in. Yeah. So now it's so big that you're not fitting in the punk rock scene, you know, certain times. Like it's just like, oh, well, it's gotten, you know, commercialized and all that. It's so big. It's just like, it's not the same, but there's still the core beliefs that people like Mike, you know, they're singing about and they're living it. So it's great.
Yeah, for sure. counterculture.
That end, the ending must be fear is just, I'm such a, I guess I can't say a girl because why should I assume that all the girls are walking around crying? I am so, what is it? I don't
you
know,
can
but
say
it just
girl.
Hits me.
Totally. You can say girl.
I'm such a freaking girl because his, I love Mike's voice.
Yes,
I like
me
it
too.
When there's many times when I'll say, you know, I really like it when you get like lazy, when you sing lazy, it's like half lazy, half country kind of, but this one is completely, you know, there's no choppy words or anything. It's completely clear. And it's just like, yeah, it must be fear. It's so
the emotion
it doesn't
behind
fit.
It. Yeah.
Just a powerful man. It's so powerful. Everybody needs to hear this stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
And decide for themselves what it means. That's the best part.
That's the best part about music. You know, it's whatever it is for each different person. If it helps them and like makes them grow and gets them through something, I just that's why I love it so much. It's everything. Right. It's the best thing in life.
I used to have people say, "Oh, that's Christian punk." I'd be like, "Man, whatever it is, it sure is."
Yeah, good. Exactly. I'm not about labels. Like, if it sounds good, if it makes me feel good, like I'm there.
I feel the end of the album gets to be really like desperate. You know, like I kind of start like needing some water and to take a break or something. like disaster's next, and it's just like, man, is this album gonna stop? That's why it's only 11 songs, right? Because if it was 16, you'd probably be dead at
the
end.
So much emotion the entire time.
Yeah. How about Disaster?
So this one did not hit me at first, but it hit me before The Way We Do, and I was like, damn, like that's a really 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 good song. You know, it's kind of like all of it where it's a love song, but it's a grown-up love song. And I don't know. It's just like mature. It's real. Like love does make you a disaster. Like, you know, we've all been there. I love the line, like you're my anchor, because I love anchors. So I'm like, that's cool. And the whole Legionnaire thing, like that's the logo. And I'm like, that's super cool. But I especially love like the ending, like the bridge where it just like totally changes, and it's, oh my gosh, I just can't say enough about it. It just, it's one of those songs that every word, like starting with the, like, you know, sitting in the car with the flask, I'm like, yeah, that's so much me. and just like thinking and reminiscing and, you know, like having those moments where you're just so happy that like you have to call that person, like that kind of like desperate love, and like, you know, it's so good.
Yeah. And then it goes away kind of after a while. It always does.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But there's nothing there. You're right. There's nothing better than that feeling of, you know, presumably probably in a new relationship,
right,
where it's very desperate and it's just like, oh my gosh, this is so, so amazing.
Yeah. But I think too, I mean, not from experience, obviously, because I've had relationships fall apart, but, I think that like reminiscing, because Mike even said on the podcast, like that thought of like them, you know, running around the house and stuff, that was before they had kids. And so life changes and the way that you feel about someone changes. But when you have those memories, like that's like what keeps the spark alive. And like, that's when like, oh my gosh, I need to talk to that person. So it's a good one.
Yeah, I really like Mike and Holly's relationship, whatever, you know, it's awesome. I like what you were saying. When you said that, it made me think of when they didn't have kids, you know, paint the house, wash the car, take a walk. Yeah, there's no time for that anymore. Okay.
Exactly. And you know what? I love all those love songs too, but like they're thinking about the before everything and after moment. And that's why Mike's calling her.
Right. I love it. It is really good. And it is, man. Yeah. It's what MXPX is about for me, is just love songs. I can do without Fist Versus Tact or whatever. You know, it's okay. I like it. It's punk rock, but I'm getting old. My heart needs healing. You know, that's what it needs.
Yeah. That song's not high on my list either. But I don't know. It's just this song. It's like so powerful, and you don't really expect it to be a love song. And then you listen to it, and like you get the feelings, and you're like, "Dang! Like this is a really good love song. This is the mature, like we're in our 30s, but we're still punk rock fans. Like we've been through shit. Like this is the kind of song that we need."
Right. Very good. Very, very good. I love his voice. His voice
so
is just
good.
Great on that song. He's really everything, the music, this is no longer pop punk. This can be anywhere that it wants to be, anyone that wants to listen to
it. Yeah, it's a really powerful song.
They're just grown musicians, and they're doing it the right way. They know what they're doing.
They're killing it, yes.
We've got one last one.
Song,
here it is.
I know.
Moments like this. This is the moment.
Yeah. I loved how he did the whole, like, this is when blue skies turn gray, like the plan gray skies turn blue. But it is true. Like, you know, we're all grown-ups and we work and, you know, we work hard. And I know personally for me, it's like I'm grinding during the week. But, man, the weekends, like, get me to my music. And that is what keeps my fire burning. That's what keeps my flame going. And, like, that's what I live for. And it's kind of just like, don't lose heart, like keep going. And then just in the vein of the other line about the thoughts in my head, don't call me crazy, it's just how I was raised, like there's that.
I'm sure you know, even though Mike's parents are really, really cool, I'm sure that there were many moments similar to the ones that you had growing up.
Yeah.
You know, because parents are still parents.
Right. And it doesn't even necessarily have to come like from the parents. Like if he was, you know, immersed in like some kind of like religious environment or whatever, like there are going to be things where just like, yeah, this is how I was raised. I'm sorry. Like, so, but at least he got through it, you know. And then there's the whole concept about, you know, like living free, which is something huge in my life. Just like living, you know, not being held back and like doing what makes you happy, but also leaving that legacy. And like, I personally don't have kids. I know you do. So you're thinking about like them remembering you, but I think about like my siblings and my nieces and nephews and, you know, whoever I have the opportunity to impact, like I want to make a mark that's a good thing, that they're like, yeah, like I remember that person for, you know, ABC because she loved MXPX, because she loved life, because, you know, she didn't care what other people thought and like, you know, followed her dreams or whatever it is. Like we all kind of like want to leave that mark where we're not just forgotten, but like there's something there that sticks with people.
Right. Well, you've got to take your nephews and nieces. Well, if you haven't bought the CD for them and had it shipped to their house, you're not being a good aunt.
I know, I need to. And I need to get the secret weapon shirts for them too. I do I have on my Instagram, one of my nieces, she's in an MXPX shirt. So, but she's grown out of that for sure. So it's time to buy some new stuff.
Definitely time. That's so crazy. That's, you know, just like what I was saying, like I thought I was the biggest fan ever. You know, it's so much better now to be able, you know, with technology, to be able to talk to people and actually hear their stories and everything. It's so great.
Yeah. And it's crazy just how this one band unites people everywhere. I just think it's amazing. Music is so powerful, but this particular band, I just feel like, you know, we're all like, we've all been there for the long haul, and now we're finally like seeing like the really, really amazing fruit of it. And it just feels so good.
I still have, you know, like friends that I've never met personally, physically, from 20 years ago online with MXPX, you know.
That's awesome.
Like if I look at my Instagram and I look at my friends, my followers and stuff, I mean, it's 90% has to do with MXPX.
Yeah, it's just so cool. Like I hope they understand how much they impact people and unite people. And you know, it may not seem huge in the whole scheme of life, but it's huge for us and it's huge for everyone that's affected. And it's a lot bigger than anyone realizes, I think.
I'm going to spill this. This is, I kind of have a little bit, I don't bug the band ever, hardly. Maybe I do all the time, But there's one thing, you know, I usually text Mike after the album's released and I write this big old thing and everything. And this time I waited a couple days. I'm growing up too. But I waited a few days and I let him have a break. And I wrote to him and I said, very simply, I said something like, you're changing people's lives. Yeah. People's lives are better because of you, because of this music. Does that weigh on you? What, how do you feel? And it was two sentences. It says, hey, Rich, thanks. Yeah, I feel it. It feels really good.
I have goosebumps like thinking about that, but yeah. It's true. And I just think for my journey, you know, it's like the years that I wasn't allowed to go see them. And I'm like this like miserable teenager, like homeschooled and like sheltered. And, you know, they got me through that part of my life. And, you know, this, when I wanted to play bass, they got me through that part of my life. And like the night that the album was released, I wrote like a pretty big, like, you know, long for Instagram posts, just kind of like highlighting little pieces. But since I was 14 years old, like they've been there and they've gotten me through phases. And, you know, now there's this new phase where it's like, it's freedom. It's finding myself. It's embracing the fact that, you know, okay, like I've been really immersed in this country world for a while, but that's not my heart and that's okay. And like being able to find that again and like having this new, like amazing, like music and these shows, it just, I don't know. It's awesome. It's the best feeling ever. So, and I know I'm not the only one, and yeah, I hope that they realize like how much of an impact they have in people's lives.
Right. So there's going to be a time when we're 80 years old. Some of us will be there a lot earlier, but there's going to be a time when we're sitting there in some freaking rocking chair with our slippers on and we stink and we're old and everything, you know, not that all old people smell or anything. I'm just saying probably I will.
I won't. Don't worry.
But we're still, they're still going to be there, right? They're still going to be in our life.
And hopefully like even if kids and grandkids and nieces and nephews, it's like passing that along. Like, oh, it's so awesome.
Right. They're still going to be there. Like, yeah, my son. Yeah. He's singing three or four of the songs. So definitely that's the next generation.
Gosh, video of Mike's son singing Friday Tonight. Oh my gosh. Heart melting.
He's so enthusiastic and emotional about it. It's like, he really is feeling it. He thinks it's Friday Tonight every freaking day.
You have to post your son singing too. If he's got some of the songs down, that's awesome.
He was humming and I had to like kind of, you know, he was humming over the song. He's a little bit shy. He's not like Rhodes. I think Rhodes is going to be a monster.
How old is he?
My son just turned 6. Okay. Yeah. So, but he's getting there. He's getting there. I wanted to take him. Sadly, we went up to Canada 2 weeks before the Seattle show and, you know, can't make two trips in 2 weeks back over there, but I wanted to take my son because I was like, man, it's hard to say this. There was a time when Joe Strummer was playing in Tempe and I was like, you know, man, it was 10 or 12 years ago. And I grew up listening to The Clash and I was like, man, I really got to go. And I just didn't, you know, I was just lazy. And then he died like four days later or something.
That's awful.
Yeah, so I'm not trying to wish bad luck on anybody, but if there's a show you want to see, you better go see it.
Yeah, and I've kind of been having that mentality lately because I missed the three nights that they did at the Troubadour. Like,
yeah,
how on earth did I miss that? Like, that's so stupid.
Right?
I did. They had that Chain Reaction show right before, which was amazing. I'm so happy I got to see that. But
that was a warm up show, right?
And it was like, you know, tiny space. I'd never been to Chain Reaction. I was right in the front. Like, I'm so bummed. My old phone like literally died. So I lost everything on there, but I had the best videos, like Mike, like singing GSF in my face. Cause I was yelling for it the whole night. And he's like, this is for you. And just like, those kind of things. It's awesome. But I think now I'm at the point where it's like, you know what? And I've never been afraid to like go to a show by myself. Like, I'm a free spirit. I do what I want. I'm independent. But it's like, now I'm like, no, like if I want to go, I'm going. Like, I don't care. If they're in Southern California, right, I will buy tickets to every show. I don't care. I'm not going to risk like missing it because this is like, this is everything. This is my happiness. And now, you know, it's like their happiness and their best time. So
everybody's happy.
Yeah, I hope you can pass that on to your kid.
Well, he's a pretty happy kid, but he's an emotional anarchist as well. I don't know. He's up and down.
That's funny.
But he just loves having fun. And it's, I just, that's what I want him to do. I just want him to have fun.
Yeah, well, you have to take him to a show that, the observatory show. There was this little boy that was like right on the like stairs. I was up against the barrier in the front and he was like on the other side. Oh my gosh, he was 5, like cutest little boy ever. And he had the little like Pokenatcha punk hat and his like Star Wars figurines. And he had the biggest crush on me and was like smiling at me the whole night, like giving me the thumbs up and like singing along. And it was so amazing. And I just, you know, whether it's my kids or nieces and nephews or whatever, someday, like, I hope I can share that. And you're lucky, like, you have a little human to share that with.
Right. Yeah. You got to put those kids down the right path for sure. That's our job. That's our job.
And then they're going to be like, these thoughts are not my own.
Oh man, that would suck.
I know, they won't.
Every single time that's going to happen, no matter what you show them?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh. No, it's very true. It could be. They rebel against everything. It doesn't matter.
They will not rebel against this music, though, because how
terrible
can you?
Kids. Oh man, they'll find a way.
For sure.
They'll find a way. They want to listen to Justin Bieber or something.
Mm, yeah.
Well, April, it was great. We got it. This is the longest podcast ever, and we could go forever, and I believe you could talk forever about this.
Yes, I told you that. I warned you.
I believe it. I'm glad I took my nap. I'm really glad.
I know, and now I feel bad because I totally dominated the conversation, but you did no, like your own podcast, so I can't feel completely bad.
I did. I like it because I just want to put in a couple of thoughts, and if it's easy for the person to talk, I'm going to let them talk.
Yeah. Well, I like talking, obviously, so.
Well, I hope Tom hasn't washed his hand off yet.
He did wash his hand, and he showed me the next night that it was gone.
Oh,
it's very disappointing.
It's probably I thought he would get it tattooed on there or something.
You know, I should suggest that, but I do think that he'll probably never forget that moment, so.
No, he's not going to forget that. That's awesome.
It was really good.
Well, that's a wrap. We got to wrap it up.
It's a long one. Thank you so much. It's been really fun. I enjoyed talking to you, and I'm sure I will see you at a show one of these days.
Yeah, one of these days. I mean, it's going to happen eventually. I'm going to see everybody one day.
Yeah, we got to make it happen.
Thank you so much, April. It's really good meeting you.
Have a good night. Bye.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Wow, that was a really cool podcast. It was pretty long, but man, she had a lot of stuff that was really good to say. I got a feeling a lot of people are having a lot of good things to say about the new album. It's all love. That's all there is to it. Thank you. Thanks for listening. If anybody out there is listening, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to do what I'm doing, even though it's all up to me. hey, we actually have a couple of different contests coming up, so be prepared. There's going to be one. It's going to be an unboxing video contest for the vinyl, the new vinyl that's going to be shipped out soon. Well, soon enough, right? Not soon enough. Anyways, it's going to be a really cool contest, really fun. Everybody's invited. Check it out. I'm at the Pokenetcha Podcast on Instagram. Okay? Thank you very much. Love you.